Praise be Jesus and Mary. As we know, we come here to render some reparation, to make reparation to the Immaculate Heart of our Mother. And we know that one of the part of the spirit of this reparation is also a consecration to Our Lady, trying to, as we hear in today's Gospel, as we know St. John, as it were, represents all of us. He's not only a disciple, but he's also an apostle and representative of the church. And so when our Lord looks upon St. John and says, "Woman, behold," or looking at his mother, says, "Woman, behold your son." And then he turns to this disciple and he says, "Behold your mother." And we're exhorted from his example of what we should do is to take Our Lady into our own home. And we're not talking about just, I mean, it's nice to do so, to put a statue or an image of Our Lady into our house and render a special homage to such images. But the home, of course, that we're most and particularly talking about, of course, is our heart, into our thoughts, into our way of being. You know, the very way we speak, the way we act, that we can see that Our Lady has actually come in to us. And we can tell by our example that people can tell by our example that we are truly children of Our Lady. And we can ask, you know, under different aspects, how we strive to become like Our Lady. We know that this whole incident takes place at the foot of the cross. And we might ask ourselves, well then, one, being a disciple, wanting to be a disciple of our Lord, wanting to be children of Our Lady, how do we carry our cross? And we can think of different groups along the way that our Lord took in carrying his cross and figure out, well, where do we sit? And sometimes we might find that we're actually in one group or another, wishing and hoping that we'd be like Our Lady. We might sometimes find, unfortunately, that we fall more into one of the other groups from time to time, wishing that we didn't. And so, of course, we have the first group of those who we find carrying the cross, and that's those who lord our Lord with the cross. You know, our Lord is carrying this cross because he loves us. He's carrying it for our redemption. And on the way of the cross, what do we sometimes find ourselves doing? Sometimes we're the ones who are pushing him and shoving him and jerking him around and making him to fall, mocking him and ridiculing him. We know that in the image of the way of the cross, we find it's the Jews, the priests, the Pharisees, the soldiers, the executioners, and their assistants. And yet all of these are all of us who are guilty of the passion. And we can think, when you say the passion, I don't want to just focus on the way of the cross. You have to think of the whole entire passion, not just one particular instant of it, but the whole thing, which starts actually, well, you could even say it starts from the first moment of his conception, because he knew what he was to suffer. And we know what an agony that cost him, no accident on the word there. We know that what an agony it cost him, just the knowledge of what he was to suffer, which he manifested once in his life so that we could have some idea of how he felt about the passion that he was destined to undergo. And we find this in the agony of the garden when he would sweat blood at the thought of it. You know, and it's actually, we know from the doctor, St. Luke, he's the only one of the disciples, or the only one of the evangelists who actually go over this, because he happens to be a doctor. And we know from doctors who've done studies, you know, on this, this only happens to people in great, great anxiety. The capillaries break. Our Lord allowed all these things to happen. One, because it was a preparation for his passion. He wanted to suffer for us. He wanted us to know what it was going to cost him. He also, you know, doctors have to tell us this again because we don't know, but you know, when our Lord did that, went through his agony, after the agony, his whole body was like one big bruise. And if you've ever had a real bad bruise, you can imagine like touching how sensitive the area of the bruise is when you touch it, you know, leg muscle or the arm is getting, you know, someone's really pounded you in the arm or whatever caused the bruise, to poke or feel around or anything on the area of the bruise, it hurts. Never mind, you know, if you already got a bruise and then someone comes up and hits you there. Well, our Lord's whole body was one big bruise when he went into his agony, or into the scourging, when he is carrying his cross. So it's injury upon injury. And we know it's not just a physical suffering, it's also a mental suffering. All right, we've gone over some of this. Part of it is trying to figure out who we are. I want us to, you know, as we're on this journey with our Lord, trying to figure out where we fit in this group, we would like not to be in this first group, those who cause our Lord to suffer. Unfortunately, I don't think anyone here is going to raise their hand and say, well, I didn't have anything to do with it. I'm not part of it. I'm the Immaculate Conception. I only know one of those. I don't think any of us are here going to say, no, I don't definitely don't fit in this first group. Hopefully, we don't always fit in this first group of people who load our Lord down with a cross and cause him to suffer. We also have a second group, and that's those who would literally carry the cross with our Lord. And we have two different people that we can reflect on in this. In fact, actually, you can reflect in different ways because there's a whole series of people that fall into this second group. You can have those that are like the two thieves that manage to carry the cross with our Lord. You know, one doesn't accept it. We know his end and how he would ridicule and mock our Lord, adding to his sufferings. And we know the good thief would actually repent. He would acknowledge and recognize he was justly condemned. And it was actually for his own good that he was suffering. And this is something, too, that we can reflect on in our own lives. You know, oftentimes when we suffer, especially the best suffering is when we think we're innocent and we're suffering since, you know, we've been wrongly accused, falsely accused, rashly accused, and all the other things that come with it. I've told this story before. My grandmother used to get tickled about it, but my grandfather, God rest, may he rest in peace, but my grandfather used to drive around and, you know, he'd be breaking the law, driving too fast, and he should be getting big tickets and all this other stuff, but he'd never get caught. And he'd get some stupid little rinky-dink ticket for something stupid, and he'd just hit the roof. My grandmother was going, justice, 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 because it cost him the more, because it was silly and stupid. It was, he'd have been happier if he'd gotten the ticket, the big ticket, when he was really doing something, rather than some stupid little piddly ticket that he you get the ticket for. It irks the more. And this oftentimes is when we really can, provided we cooperate with God's grace, when we can really make up for sins that we've committed. Because then we kind of have a feeling within ourselves that I'm innocent. I don't deserve this. But there are other times when you did, and you got away scot-free. God let you go on some of the bigger ones, and he got you on that one, so that you might be more like him in your suffering, because you're innocent and more able to make restitution for his crucifixion, his carrying the cross, his suffering and his passion. May it help us to be mindful not to be like the thief along the way who would reject the cross of salvation. And sometimes, unfortunately, this is where we are. You know, I don't deserve this. I'm innocent. And we stand our, do we stand our ground. We are ready to raise hell. And unfortunately, if we don't accept the cross of Jesus sent to us with love, this is where we're going. The cross is a sign of Christ's love for us, our share in that suffering, in his suffering. And we mustn't forget that, because that share in that suffering now will bring about that share in his glory and everlasting glory. Don't seek your reward here and now except to suffer, so that later on we might share in that crown of glory. That blessed words to carry the cross after our Lord, these are words which he tells all of us. If you would be my disciple, you must take up your cross and follow me. May he give us this grace to be true disciples, to carry the cross after our Lord with generosity, with love, with patience, not missing the opportunities, asking our Lord to see the cross when it comes from his hands, bearing in mind that he's sending it to us, asking his help to recognize it, to embrace it with the generosity he did. It's one of the things that We see it in the movie of the Passion, but it's one of the things that the fathers of the church say to us, that when our Lord was given the cross, he embraced it. We're usually running. It's like exit stage here, see the cross coming, exit stage right, exit stage left, retreat to embrace it. And listen, the speaker counts himself into this crowd. It's hard to accept the cross. That's why it's a cross. That's what makes it a cross. Padre Pio, you know, he wanted to carry the cross, but you read his letters and it's oh, did he cry? Oh, did he cry about suffering? But he wanted to suffer. He wanted to suffer. In fact, our Lord said to him one time, said, you know, if I hadn't given you the cross, you'd have left me. He wanted to suffer out of love for Jesus. Not in a sixth sense. We don't love, and this is we have to bear this in mind. We don't embrace the cross for the cross's sake. We don't love suffering for the sake of suffering. That's sick. And that's not holy. What's holy is to embrace it out of love for Jesus, because he embraced his cross out of love for me. That's what makes it holy. That's what sanctifies suffering. Anything else makes it sick. Makes it lose, it loses its supernatural value if it's not attached to the cross of our Lord. So don't run out just to say, well, that's it. Father said to suffer, so I'm going to start beating yourself. No. That's not the suffering we're running after. What the suffering we're after is to carry the cross the Lord sends us generously with loving patience. We also have a third group. That'd be those who participate in the spirit of our Lord's carrying the cross. In this first group, we can find the women of Jerusalem and other good people who compassionate our Lord's fate. Compassion is a big part of the cross. And here, you know, I'm kind of jumping ahead. But another, we have to include, as soon as you say compassion, you automatically, every one of us here in this room should think of Our Lady. You can't compassionate our Lord unless you understand the role of Our Lady. That's why you have to think on these two. Whenever you think on the Passion of our Lord, you have to remember the mothers at the foot of the cross. Think of your own, think of a loved one. I don't care who it is. It can be your children, it can be your wife, it can be your husband, your mom, your dad, somebody in your life that you really, really love. And then imagine watching them suffer. And there's nothing you can do about it. All you can do is stand there and watch, if you got the courage to stand there at all. In today's world, unfortunately, this is where some people oftentimes abandon friends and loved ones because they're afraid to watch them suffer. They can't watch them. I want to remember him just as he was. I want to remember her just as she was. Thanks a lot, you selfish dog. Thinking of yourself, aren't you a nice person? God love you. Thank you very much. Abandoned. Left me abandoned. Just like, thank you, Lord, for letting people, all my friends, abandon me as you were abandoned. This is what the sick person, a poor sick person, abandoned by their family has to say. Hopefully they have that grace from God to accept that cross with our Lord, to be abandoned by one's friends and loved ones. Nobody there. In the time of need, they leave you alone, ditch you. Thank you, Jesus, for letting me share that suffering. Anyways, it didn't say much for those who left. They repented, thanks be to God. Most of the disciples came back. They realized that was a rotten thing to do, leave our Lord all alone in his time of need. They weren't happy about it, but we do need to take courage. That's, our Lord does pray for them. He prays for us when we fail in that, but we also need to bear in mind, asking our Lord to have the courage of Our Lady, Mary Magdalene, St. John, the disciple, and the other Marys that made it to the foot of the cross. Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus. May God grant us that courage to have compassion on our Lord and the sufferings of those whom we love, not to run for them. Yes, it hurts. That's compassion. Unite your heart with the heart of a mother who watched her son die for love of you, and take care of your Jesus on his cross as she did. It's not easy. Does it hurt? Does it cost? Yes, but it's sanctifying. Ask for the courage and grace to unite your heart with the heart of our mother. To have that courage, you know, even in times of persecution, when no one's there, you know, a true friend, and this is how you always know a true friend, in a time of persecution, a time of when everybody's abandoned, a true friend will be beside you and help you out in your time of need. And that's not to say that we don't sometimes fail and, you know, ask people's pardon and let them know we're sorry that, you know, we failed. In a particular instant, we weren't able to be there. But we can still help with our prayers if we failed in some other way. And I'm not encouraging people to, you know, it's, don't cop out. Try, strive not to cop out. But if you have copped out for one reason or another, realize you failed in it, well, pray now and ask the Lord's grace to do better next time. Because there's another Jesus that you're going to meet on your road. Your life's not done. You know? None of it, you know, we don't know how long we're going to live, but very likely we're going to have another Jesus to compassionate before we die. That we have the grace to do so and not run this time. And we also find at last to contemplate more particularly the group of our Lord, our Lord's own mother, who awaited him on this painful journey and would meet him in his way, on his way of the cross. It is believed in this little history that there is a memorial of their suffering, of the sorrowful meeting in a church, the Lady of the Spasm, which belongs to the Armenian Catholics, and it stands in a place marked by tradition as the fourth station of the cross. In a subterranean chapel belonging to this church, the memorial may be seen in the words of a learned father. I'm not going to try and say his name. It's probably German. I might give it a try. All those who are German will cringe as I say it, but I think it's Meistermann. It's an OSF. And he says, in the crypt level with the ancient street, some bits of the pavement of which have been found on the northern side is a great piece of a mosaic which was discovered in digging the foundations for the new church. And the square framed in a rich border bears in the center two little shoes or sandals placed together with their points turned to the northwest. This mosaic, which is proper prior to the 7th century, seems to mark the very spot where tradition states that the Blessed Virgin stood when she exchanged with her son a look which pierced her maternal heart like a sword. These words will help us in making our composition a place as we contemplate, you know, this walking in our journey with our Lord, that in death they were not divided. Our Lady's heart is totally united with the will of her Lord. She realizes the sacrifice that her son is making for love of us, and she's completely and wholly united to that. It's a sacrifice that she renews on her way, on the way of the cross. It's a sacrifice that she will renew at the foot of Calvary, and it's something that she renewed all through her life from the very first moment when she made her fiat at the Annunciation. And we know that it wasn't long after her first fiat that she would be reminded of what she was to offer, as we know that when she made the presentation in the temple, Simeon, as you want to say, took the joy from her, the permission of God. You know, every mother has that moment to rejoice in her child, as happy the child's been born. How'd you like to know that you get a new child, and several days after your new child, you're all happy about your new child, you're told how the child is to die, and that he would suffer for the salvation of great joy, to suffer for the salvation of many. But to be reminded of that suffering, what it might cost you. Because you want to kind of maybe put it in the back of your mind. Our Lord and Our Lady never really put it in the back of their mind. They would meditate it on a spiritually healthy way, and yet it would cost them. And they would offer that suffering, that cost, for us. And one mystic said to our Lord, she'd suffered for 30 years, she said, Lord, you only suffered for three hours. I've suffered for 30 years. And our Lord told the mystic, do you understand nothing? I knew from the very moment of my conception what I was to suffer. He knew from all eternity what he was to suffer, but he wasn't suffering as God. He couldn't suffer as God. As the second person of the Blessed Trinity, he can't suffer until he takes on a human nature. And then he can know. This is what a trade-off. You know, he comes down from heaven to give us glory, everlasting joy. And what do we give him? He came down from heaven so that he could learn how to suffer in a human form, in our form, in a human nature. This is what we give to Jesus, suffering. May we be united with the heart of the Immaculate to be able to reach out to the heart of Jesus and others. Whatever you do to the least of my brothers, it you've done unto me. To reach out with that heart of compassion to the Jesus suffering around us, near us, calling to us to help our neighbor in the ways that we can. Not forgetting our own duties and state in life, I understand all that part, but to do what we can to help out Jesus suffering and our neighbor. To show that compassion that he shows us. This is the example he gives us. He came down from heaven having pity on us and our misery so he might raise us up to heaven. And this is what he asks us to do, each of us in our own lives, to reach out to Jesus and others so that we too might have compassion on him and to show him our love, our generosity, our patience and bearing with a little foibles. Sometimes we think they're more than foibles. But the little sufferings that others cause us, to receive it not from their hands, but from the loving hands of our loving Savior. Praise be Jesus and Mary.